The lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. This is the word of the Lord.
This past winter, I had the dreaded flu. I wonder how many people had flu out there this past winter, huh? 50% better, whatever. Let me share with you briefly my experience. I woke up on a Monday morning, and I was achy and feverish going, oh, no. And later on the day, I said, I got to call the doctor. I was lucky to get into the doctor the next morning, about 10:30, 11 or so. He determined I had the flu by virtue of swabbing my nose. He couldn't miss, of course. And then he said to me, as he called me back later on, 2:33 or so, "Yeah, you got the flu." And so he says, "But if you take Tamiflu." And so I was on this incredible, epic mission to discover and to find some Tamiflu. The only problem, of course, everyone had the flu last winter, and every pharmacy I called, no Tamiflu. Finally, at Tatum and Cactus, they're at that CVS. They'd just gotten a shipment, and I went over there in my, you know, achy, feverish state, and got my hands on that Tamiflu, and I just took it like a dying man who had just discovered the antidote for some poison I had ingested for sure. And this was about 4 or 5 or so. And at 7 o'clock, I mean, I was burning up with fever, about 103 temp, you know. Oh, good news. I woke up the next morning, and those symptoms had started to be relieved. I was relieved of those symptoms and started feeling better. I went to sleep, woke up Thursday morning, and I was almost just back to myself. And I was able to go to work. And so just think about it, in that desperation for Tamiflu and receiving it, work like a miracle restored me to health. And so if you think about it, really, there is a sense of desperation, or at least there should be, in terms of receiving God, the kingdom, and all that God has to offer. We see this in our reading for today. The reading tells us regarding this leper. There was a man covered with leprosy. Leprosy, as you may know, of course, in terms of biblical times, was a dreaded disease. They call it Hansen's disease. Now we hear, of course, very little about it. But then, it's like contracting AIDS or Ebola now. And because of the nature of it, people thought you were contagious. They were ostracized from their families and their communities, and they would live in villages kind of separate and set off a lonely existence. And we are told in Leviticus that if a person had contracted leprosy, if someone started to come near to one of these communities, they were to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," to ward people off. Can you imagine? People in that day and age did not distinguish from the person and the disease. And so if a person had leprosy, of course, they thought a true sinner indeed. They must have done something, you know, quite wrong, that God is punishing them with this disease. So it really affected every aspect of their being, you know, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual even. Set outside, they were ostracized from their communities of faith, dreaded. Physical aspect of it as well, because it affected nerve endings. And because of that, people couldn't feel things. And so they would, you know, bump into things. And so they'd have damaged fingers, toes, and the like. This man was covered with leprosy, and I'm sure, I mean, he was in a despicable state, lost much body tissue. And so in desperation, he was willing to transgress the law there when he determined that Jesus was present. And I'm sure as you approached, I mean, people must like, you know, parting the Red Sea or people heading for the exit. And he came to Jesus. And we read these words then. Once, when he was in one of the cities. Oops, okay. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him. Isn't that a marvelous picture? I mean, we don't read much more, but this particular man was restored to his family, to his community, again, embraced life. And that's really what we see unfolding in chapters 4, 5, and 6 and following. Jesus is bringing the long-awaited kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God, to bear in this world. I mean, he's proclaiming it's called the good news of the kingdom, that God is arriving, the reign and rule of God. And we see it coming forth as well by powerful works, you know, healings and demons are being exorcised. All a sign, prophetic unfolding of the fact that the kingdom has come near, the Messiah is here in the person of Jesus the Christ, receiving the good news. Do you remember last week? Last week we heard about Peter, just a lowly fisherman. Minding his business, a night of fishing, he caught nothing. Jesus arrives on the scene, and he says, "Peter, cast your net into the deep." And Peter says, "Well, Lord, you know, such and such this," and every excuse, he says, but at your word, he, of course, casts his net, and as we heard last week, a marvelous, you know, catch as such. He goes on to then transforms his life fishing for people. He received the kingdom. And if you read on, of course, in 17 and following, you read about the man, the paralytic man. He is desperate. He's on the mat, so to speak. He's down for the count. He's hopeless. And then his friends, out of great love for him, just if we can get him into the presence of Jesus. And so you know the story. They tore a hole in the roof and they laid him in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus not only healed him of his physical paralysis, but think about the healing. We don't know specifically about this man, but Jesus proclaimed over him the forgiveness of sins. To receive Jesus' forgiveness and the newness of life is paramount in terms of healing. Shalom. And it goes on. Levi, the tax collector, Jesus calls him. Actually goes to the dreaded tax collector Levi's house because he repents. He receives the kingdom. He invites some other lowlifes. They receive. They repent too as well. The kingdom is among us. It's impinging. The good news of the kingdom. Then and now. Hear these words from Luke chapter 12 verse 32. "Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the reign and rule of God." So just think about our lives. Let me ask you, the question is, are we receiving the kingdom like those I have just mentioned? Desperately, willingly, just receiving from God. The Lord stands at the door of our hearts, each and every one of us, and knocks. He wants to invite us into a relationship with the Father through the Spirit. A life-giving relationship. Do we receive the kingdom? You know, by abiding, hearing the voice of God, and doing God's bidding in this world. And as we trust God a little bit more each and every day, because we are submitted to his will and God does his work powerfully through us, and there's life change, transformation, receiving the kingdom, the reign and rule, like we saw Peter. Leveraging our lives. It's amazing when people sign up to do God's bidding. "Use me, Lord." "Oh, yeah, for sure, God does." And then God does a powerful work. The kingdom's received. It's good news all around. the Father's good pleasure to give us, give you, and you and me, the kingdom. Can I hear an amen to that? It's a good Father's good pleasure. Let me give you an example of receiving the kingdom in a fallen, broken world. I did a service yesterday for a 65-year-old woman. Lots of challenges. One particular challenge, her youngest daughter, she had two daughters, her youngest daughter contracted a very serious lung disease, pulmonary hypertension. And she had this disease, and as a result of it, she was in and out of hospitals for some 11 years. Can you imagine? Doesn't it just break your heart? Little five-year-old girl. Where are you going with this, John? Five-year-old girl, in and out of hospitals, receiving medical care. But she, this little girl, amazingly, was a light to others. That she was somehow, she would read to some of the other children in the hospital. She had a way of just disappearing, and people, where is she? She would show up, and she would come alongside others just to be present, to encourage, and to be there. And the lone surviving sister of this family of four was telling me this, and she said, you know, I was really angry at God because of my sister's disease and her suffering. She said, however, as time passed and as she reflected, she could see the reality of God at work in her sister's life. And even though her life was brief, short, her life had great purpose. It's like she fulfilled her purpose. God used her in powerful ways as he brought encouragement, support to others. Evidence of the reign, the kingdom, the reign and rule of God in the midst of a fallen, broken world. One other aspect of that, we say the kingdom of God is already, it's among us, in part. It will be in all its fullness, not yet. And so this sister told me how she was present when her little sister passed away. And she said, I was in the hospital room and I was awakened by this beautiful music about 4:15 in the morning. And she said she was kind of, you know how it is when you wake up from a sleep, and she was kind of confused a bit. And she said she looked over at her sister. And she said in a short time, she watched her sister take her last breath. And no doubt, she said, it was the heavenly music, choirs of angels, if you will, welcoming her home. The kingdom of God will come in all its fullness. But I'm wondering today, are we receiving what God has for us? His reign, his rule, his love, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Somehow that's transformative, and somehow we become more grace and mercy, the grace of mercy of God for another. You know, as I mentioned, you read the scriptures in John, and you see there's these antagonists, these people who hinder, who are a hindrance to the furtherance of God's reign and rule. In particular, of course, we know those folks who are referred to as the Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders. Jesus came. God is doing something new. The long-awaited kingdom, the Messiah, has arrived. And yet there was this reticence, this questioning. And so they thought him to be a lawbreaker. They were not open to the reality of God in the person of Jesus. And so they really were about their own vested interests, preserving their power, prestige, and wealth. In time, of course, their hearts completely hardened. And we knew how it was. They were amongst the crowd, I'm sure, yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" What a tragedy. God doing a new thing. The reign and rule of God unfolding, the fresh life of God in the Spirit, and all that God desires to give, and they didn't receive it. They rejected, as mentioned, a hindrance We can be a hindrance. Remember Peter, he made the confession. You're the Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. Peter says, no, you ain't doing that, Lord. Get behind me. Holding a mirror up. If we do so, what do we see? Are we like those who are kind of desperate and, you know, on our tiptoes, ready to receive? Or are we like those who are reticent? Truth be known, operating in the flesh rather than the spirit. Not willing to receive what God is up to. Reticent, rigid, hardening. Choosing to wallow perhaps in guilt and condemnation because we found that a safe place, stepping out in the light and receiving all that God has to offer. Hardening our hearts. As I mentioned, somehow we've not received the fullness of God's grace. And in turn, we don't extend grace and mercy to others. Wow, we should, of most people, be incredible grace dispensers, forgiveness, in light of knowing how much we have been, our lives have been graced and forgiven. You know, kind of hardening by just turning insular rather than turn outward and allow God to use us. The good news is, it's our Father's good pleasure. He's infinitely patient, but time's a wasting because we want to do the works of light while it's still light. God continues to pursue you and me. We have areas where we've hardened. Pursue us in love, the good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love these passages. Here we see law, gospel. He comes to him in his fever or his leprous state, law. He's broken. Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. And then incredible grace. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. I do choose. I'm the Lord of the dance. Be made clean. Wow, no one else but Jesus was willing to touch this, quote, filthy man. But Jesus did, becoming unclean. He who knew no sin became sin, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. I do choose. I do choose. Be made clean. Father's good pleasure to give you and me the kingdom received, not earned. Let me just share with you briefly four ways today. Today, you and I can receive the kingdom. First of all, coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus, the leper came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. As I mentioned, I'm sure they headed for the exits. But he was going to come to Jesus. And he did. Jesus is among us, invites us to come and to receive his divine life. And I'm really talking about that aspect of our faith life of abiding, remaining, and being with Jesus. Somehow by grace, developing the discipline, the habit of quiet time. Remaining. Verse 16 of our reading. Oh, it's just a tack-on verse. No, it's not. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Deserted places, quiet places, uptime with the Father. Receive the kingdom, receive me. And secondly, we receive the kingdom humbly. This man bowed his face. When was the last time you and I bowed our face? He bowed his face to the ground and he begged. Bowing, posture of humility, begging, acknowledgement of great need, desperation. I've been reflecting about this, but we read in chapter 9 of Luke that we are to receive the kingdom of God like a child. You know, there's an aspect of a child that trusts in the goodness, but there's a little aspect, you know, of desperation. Perhaps they sense their great need, and they come completely dependent on the goodness of their parent or parents. Likewise, we are completely dependent upon God to receive the kingdom, to receive what we need. Desperate. And yet again, the good parent wants to give good gifts to his children. The goodness, we have a good Heavenly Father. And so we can approach, we can receive the kingdom, you know, by coming, by humility, but also in just a childlike trust in faith. Doesn't it really boil down to that when you've journeyed in faith for a while? Just a childlike trust in faith. You know you're dependent upon God. You know, good parents willingly, lovingly provide for their children. The leper trusted in the goodness of the Father, that it's God's good pleasure to give the kingdom. If you choose, Jesus said, I choose. He reaches out. We read these words in Luke 11. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You know, when he says the Spirit, the kingdom, and the Spirit, God is desiring to give us himself. The leper received. Do we come to God trusting that it's our Father's good pleasure to give us all his good gifts? And fourth, finally, we receive the kingdom testimony to others. This kind of closes the loop or completes the loop. You know, after this man experienced healing, Jesus then says to him, you know, tell no one. Go, he said, and show yourself to the priest, and, as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them. Complete the loop. Give a testimony. When we experience a spiritual breakthrough and somehow the kingdom of God comes among us, it really is incumbent upon us, and we need to give testimony to what God has and what God is doing in our lives. It further kind of internalizes it, if you will. And others need to hear. I was at the park the other day, and I knew one of the fellow dog walkers, that this person had struggled with addiction. And as you know, I have a good friend of mine whose daughter struggles with addiction. And so I just kind of threw one out there. And it was a God moment. You know, God ordained this moment. And she then just laid the whole spiel on me in terms of her addiction and her subsequent recovery 5 years ago. And how when she just kind of finally came to that point of complete surrender, as I mentioned, desperation, she just experienced this welling up of grace and just empowerment in the face of her addiction. I've never seen her light up like she did that morning. And she said, you know, I needed to share because I've been struggling with something lately. And I can tell you I needed to hear. It was a blessed moment, a moment of testimony. The Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I want to just kind of close by asking you, where right now do you and I need to receive what God has to offer us? In the midst of whatever brokenness, dilemma, darkness, the reign and rule of God. And part of that may involve facing some fears, steps of faith. Part of that may mean somehow dying to something in our life that for some reason has a hold of us and we hang on to. You know, we read in John, these words have been on my heart so much the last year or two. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. So yeah, there's dying to rise. But it's the good Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And I want you just to think about it. God is reaching out that hand to you and me in the midst of our brokenness to touch us, to bring healing. And the question is, will we receive the kingdom and all that God has to offer? Amen.